Hello, this is Pastor Cal Hampton. I want to thank you for taking time out of your busy schedule to listen to our Second Mile podcast. It is my prayer that the Spirit of God might just enliven your spirit so that you might get a word from heaven today. And as always, you have an invite to come and worship with us down here at Second Mile Church on 804 Riverside Drive in Clarksville. May the Lord bless you. Thank you.
Well, good morning. Thank you, worship team. And I just want to say a word to our Second Mile family. Our Kenwood campus is with us today. And that was our campus pastor. That was Derek Simonis, who is our campus pastor out at Kenwood. And they're going to be with us for the next Sunday or two. We've got the sanctuary all torn to pieces out there and getting things ready for Easter. So we're blessed to have you all. And Mark Poe has not a line of visitors with him today. And so thank you, Paula and Mark, for inviting folks. And Frank and Sharon are back with us today. And we've got a lot of folks visiting today. And you guests and visitors know we love you, and Jesus does too. Please grab a mile marker card on your way out. Fill out the bottom part of that thing, and we want to get a record of your visit with us today, if you would do that for us. And then we are in Revelation chapter 7 this morning. After preaching on hell last Sunday, I thought, just to give ample opportunity to everybody, we're going to preach on heaven this morning. I'd much rather preach on heaven than about hell, but we've got to preach the whole counsel of God. So, as you're turning there, just I want you to pray for Paul Landrum. He's in the back and kind of fell out a few minutes ago. And Bill Webb's back there with him, one of our wonderful EMT fellows here in town. And probably going to call an ambulance to come pick Paul up. But he's okay right now. He's stable. He's sitting up in a chair talking. But let's just pray for him right now, could we? Father, there's not a better servant of yours than Paul Landrum. And we love this fella, and I don't know if it's some kind of heart issue or just something's out of whack, but you know, Lord, and you're our great physician. So I pray, God, that you would bless Paul right now. Give his doctors this morning the wisdom to know best how to treat him and get him back on his feet where he feels good again. Thank you so much, Lord, for Scripture says we can come boldly to the throne of grace, to find grace and to obtain mercy, to help us all in our time of need. And so we pray, Lord, for Paul today. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. All right, we're in Revelation chapter 7. Let me just read verses 9 and 10 with us. Can we honor God's word by standing one more time? If your knees are hurting, shout arthritis. All right. Revelation chapter 7, verse 9. After these things I looked, and behold, a great multitude which no one could number, of all nations, tribes, peoples, and tongues, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes, with palm branches in their hands, and crying out with a loud voice, saying, salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb. And may God add His blessing to the reading and the teaching and the preaching of His holy, authoritative word this morning. Please be seated. I want to talk to you about heaven for the next few minutes, if that'd be all right. And you know, heaven, how many of you have a favorite heaven song? Two of you? All right. If you don't have a favorite heaven song, you need to get out a little bit. But there's all kinds of songs out there about heaven. And, you know, I guess I don't need to drift left ever, do I? Some of y'all will get that. So I do want to say this. The older I get, the sweeter heaven gets. And I guess the reason for that is, one of the reasons for that is, I've got a bunch of loved ones in glory this morning. January 30th, 1994, Grandmama Hampton went to heaven. October 20th of 2012, my dad went to heaven. January 29th of this year, my mama went to heaven. I've got a cousin named Mark Sherwood who went to heaven when we were 19. I've got, I got some bang up friends in heaven. Brother Shep, Jimmy Terry, John Lida, some great heroes of the faith that are in heaven. This past Wednesday, Diane and I conducted a funeral of one of our best friends in Waynesboro, Ralph Horton. Heaven keeps getting sweeter because of the folks that I love and know are there. And I want to go. I said, I want to go to heaven. Amen. And I want you to go to heaven. I do. And there's a man in your Bible who went to heaven before he died. His name's John. And it's part of just what we read this morning as he's describing heaven. So let's listen in. First of all, as John describes heaven's population. Heaven's population. You can follow along there in verses 9 and 10 in your Bible if you need to read those again. But John describes heaven's population as a number, a multitude no man can number. And I guess it's probably fruitless for us to try to think about, goodness gracious. I'm just going to go stand right here and just be obstinate this morning. All right. It's almost just a silly thing for us to speculate about the numbers of heaven. The Department of Eugenics believes that there's been approximately 30 billion people that have lived on the planet. And let's just say that 30% of those went to heaven. Now, that Jesus said few are going to find their way to heaven. That's what he said. But let's just say there's 30. So that'd be what? 9 billion? Something like that in heaven? Well, who all makes up this population in heaven? Well, first of all, he tells us there in verse 11, all the angels stood around the throne, and the elders and the four living creatures, and fell on their faces before the throne and worshiped God. The angels, Revelation 5 and verse 11 says, then I looked and I heard the voice of many angels around the throne, the living creatures and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands. There's an Hebrews 12 and verse 22 tells us there's an innumerable amount of angels in heaven. Millions and millions. If you do the math there in Revelation 5:11, that's just the 10,000 times 10,000. You know what that is? That's 100 million. I believe everybody's got a guardian angel, so there's probably billions of angels in glory. Well, what are they doing there? Well, they're doing what God wants them to do. And they have a ministry to the saints. Scripture tells us that angels often guard us. We entertain angels unawares at times. They guard us and they guide us. In Matthew's gospel, we're told that the angels will even escort us into heaven. You ever been anywhere you'd never been before? Who did you need? Well, you needed a travel guide. Our angels may be our travel guides in glory. And so angels make up, millions and millions and millions and millions of angels make up heaven's population. Old Testament saints, that's the reference to the elders there and the all of creation's what he's talking about there. But the Old Testament saints will be there, Abraham and Abel. Elijah and Enoch, Ruth and Rahab, David and Daniel, Jeremiah, Jonah, Job, and Joshua. I don't know who your favorite Old Testament saint is, but they'll be there. They'll make up, and then New Testament saints, Paul and Peter, James and John, Matthew and Mark, Priscilla and Aquila. All the New Testament saints will be there. And then did you catch what John said? The tribulation saints will be there. All of those folks who have come through the great tribulation. Basically, what we're talking about here, heaven's population is made up of all the blood-bought, born-again, blood-washed, called-out saints of God. Look at your neighbor and say, we're going to get there. All God's children are finally going to get home. Are y'all homesick today? I'm homesick. Let's give God praise. He's going to get us home. He's going to get us home. Heaven's population. Oh, mercy. So, let me regress a little bit. How do you get to heaven? You got to die to get there. Bible says it's appointed unto man once to... That's right. And you know, all of us want to go to heaven, but I've noticed nobody wants to die to get there. Right? But we're all going to die. And you see, and Billy is teaching through 1 Corinthians right now. I can't wait till you get to chapter 15. And he's preaching on the message of the cross today out of chapter 1. I was so excited about chapter 15. I mentioned that in the one call now yesterday. But Revelation 15 and verse 40, or verse 50 I think it is, says flesh and blood will not inherit the kingdom of God. Did you know as pretty and as handsome and as good looking and as nice and sweet and kind as you all are, your body's not ready for heaven just yet? And so God's got to do a major makeover. And he's going to get us ready. Flesh and blood shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Now, I don't know what all that means, but when Jesus comes, the Bible says to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Jesus said to the thief on the cross, today you'll be with me in paradise. Is there anything better than being in the presence of Jesus? Face to face with the Lord? Anything better than that? Well, when we die, our body goes to the grave and our soul goes to be with the Lord. And then when he returns, the Bible tells us that we're going to get a spiritual body. We're going to get a resurrection body. We're going to get a glorified body like the body of Jesus. Ooh, that's going to be good. You're going to get a body like Jesus. You remember after his resurrection and when he was in his glorified, you remember he just show up here. The next minute he shows up over here. He wasn't bound by time, space, or matter. I mean, his resurrection body was awesome. He was able to, now he was able to run and laugh and eat and cook. He cooked fish for breakfast one morning. Doesn't that sound awful? He was able to laugh. He was able to cry. He was able to drink. He was able to do all the things that we normally do, but he was able to do it like we will be able to do it on a much higher level. You're going to get your resurrection. You see, he's going to get us ready at the Bema seat. And you see, right now, our material bodies kind of dominate our spiritual bodies. That's why we've got addictions. That's why we've got sicknesses and illnesses and disease. That's why we've got wrinkles. That's why we've got blemishes. That's why we've got spots. That's why we've got all this stuff. But when you get that spiritual body, it's going to be a material body, but somewhat like what you've got now, but on a much higher spiritual level. Glory to God. And there'll be no more sickness. There'll be no more suffering. There'll be no more cancer. Be no more oxygen tanks. There'll be no more war. And there'll be no more there'll be no more sin and best. And there'll be no more death. Hallelujah! I'm looking forward to that. Aren't you? You'll see me now. You'll see me in heaven, and you'll say, "Pastor, is that you?" And I'll say, "Yes, it's me in all my glory." And you'll say, my, what an improvement. Heaven. Whew. Now, let me just Let me just say a few things about heaven. I've had people tell me, you know, you're not going to know anybody when you get to heaven. That's the biggest bunch of gobbledygook I've ever heard. We're going to know everybody in heaven. You're going to know everyone. How in the world did Peter, James, and John know who Moses and Elijah were when they'd been dead for 400 years on the Mount of Transfiguration? They knew them. And we're going to know one another. Now, we're going to be on a different level in those days. You understand that? Now, this is going to make some of you sad, and it's going to make some of you glad. But Matthew 22:30 says that there's no marriage in heaven. We're going to be on a higher level of relationship. It'll be even better than what we got now. And hallelujah, we're in the betrothal stage right now. We're going to be married to Jesus. We're going to the marriage supper of the Lamb. We're in the betrothal period right now. But, you know, just think about this with me. Have you got a loved one in glory that you hadn't seen in a long time? I remember my dad. His little body was emaciated from leukemia and dementia. He was 80-something pounds, skin and bones. But bless God, when I see my daddy again, he'll be in the prime of life. I've heard people say we'll be all be 33 years old because that was the age of Jesus. I don't know about all that. But whatever your prime was, you'll be in it. And you'll never die again. Glory to God. Diane and I had we've got two great daughters, but our oldest daughter, after they'd been married about 5 or 6 years, started trying to have children. And Brittany had, I think it was 3 miscarriages before they had their first one. Diane and I've got 3 little grandbabies in glory that we've never seen. And I'll see them. And I'll be with them. And that may be the case with some of you. Heaven's population is going to be something to see. Tell somebody, I can't wait. I'm homesick. Here's the second thing that John brings up. Not only is he talking about heaven's population there in verses 9 and 10, but he's talking also about heaven's occupation. Look at verse 11. All the angels stood around the throne and the elders and the 4 living creatures and fell on their faces before the throne and worship God, saying, Amen, blessing and glory and wisdom, thanksgiving and honor and power and might be to our God forever and ever. Amen. Verse 15, therefore they are before the throne of God, and here it is, and serve Him day and night in His temple. And He who sits on the throne will dwell among them. What are we going to do in heaven? What are we going to do in heaven? Some of y'all are under the impression that you're going to be in a nice long chaise lounge chair with glorified lemonade and all that. It's going to be much better than that. We're going to serve the Lord 24/7 for all of eternity. Now, Hebrews 4:9 says that we will rest. We will rest from our labors. Now, there's some things that we're not going to do in heaven and that we're not going to need in heaven. As much as I love Bill Webb, old Bill over here is going to be out of a job. We're not going to need EMT and ambulance drivers and all those. As much as some of y'all love me and can't stand me, I'm going to be out of a job in heaven. Right? Not going to be any need for pastors because Jesus is the chief shepherd. And He will shepherd all of His people. Glory, that's a good word, thank you. And not going to need any hospital administrators, nurses, doctors. Somebody said, woo-hoo. Not going to need a lot of things when we get to heaven. But oh, what are we going to do? We're going to be serving the Lord. You say, well, Pastor, what kind of service am I going to provide for the Lord? Well, I know this. I don't know exactly what all that entails, but you're never going to get tired of work and serving God. Some of you all today have tremendous talents and gifts and abilities, and you're going to use every one of them for the glory of God for all of eternity. You're going to serve God. You're going to serve Him with everything that you are so that He might receive even more praise and honor and glory. Do you know Jesus deserves all the praise? We were created for His glory. And, you know, those end time parables talk about positions and places of service in heaven that we will serve. I've told y'all, I don't know who the mayor of the New Jerusalem's going to be, but there's going to be somebody, some politician in glory serving as mayor. We'll probably have some senators, governors. Hallelujah. We're going to serve. And somehow, y'all, this service is connected with worship. And whatever work we're doing for the Lord will be our act of worship. Worship without distraction. Work without exhaustion. Rest without boredom. Oh, heaven's occupation. We're going to serve the Lord. But it gets better. We're going to sing for the Lord. Can I just tell y'all something? I kind of sit over here and I just kind of look around every now and then, and some of y'all are like this when we're singing. Go ahead and bless me if you can. We're getting ready right now for what we're going to be doing there. We're going to sing in heaven. Now, listen to this. Verse 9 of Revelation 5 says, "And they sang a new song." Well, I don't like contemporary music. That kind of sounds contemporary to me. "You are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals, for you were slain and have redeemed us to God by your blood out of every tribe and tongue and people and nation, and have made us kings and priests to our God, and we shall reign on the earth." Oh, listen, there's going to be singing in heaven. Ah, we'll probably sing some of those old songs, but there's going to be new songs and new lyrics and new words and new notes. Can you imagine? I mean, there's going to be singing in heaven. I've told y'all before, I'm going to sing with the Brooklyn Tabernacle Choir. And this contemporary mess, there are going to be choirs in heaven. Not just a little bitty praise team, but choirs and orchestras and praise bands. It's going to be so good. Whoo, Andrew will do a backflip. We're going to sing in heaven. Some of y'all are just... Here's another one. Did you know we're going to shout in heaven?
Yeah.
Oh, I like that. Look at Revelation 5, verse 12. "Saying with a loud voice." That kind of sounds like shouting to me. Right? "Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing." The sevenfold praise chorus there. And we're going to shout. Why has the shout left our Baptist building? We used to shout every time God did something great in the church house, on the Lord's day, among the Lord's people. We would shout. We'll be shouting then, and it'll be so loud, it'll be like being under Niagara Falls. You won't be able to hear a thing. It'll be so loud. And by the way, can I just tell you, we're getting ready here for what we ought to be doing there, and every now and then, when the Spirit of God hits you, there ought to be a shout at Second Mile Church. I'm not trying to stir up or work up anything. That's just who we are. I see y'all at the ball games. You're not any different here than you are there. You just, some reason or other, we think, you know, in order to be holy, you got to be quiet. I just choose to be happy and holy at the same time. Ooh, that's good. I like that. And then there's going to be, Revelation 8 verse 1 says, he opened the seventh seal and there was silence in heaven for about a half hour. There'll be times in heaven, y'all, when it'll be so a sense of wonder and holiness and awesomeness. Oh, you'll be able to hear a pin drop in heaven. And you know what? Oftentimes, when God's doing something in here, it gets quiet. Heaven's occupation. We're going to serve God. Oh, and there's one more I forgot. We're going to study in heaven. We're going to learn more about God than we do right now. For all of eternity, God's going to unfold His plans and His purposes and His person. We're going, you know what, Billy, I can't wait. I've got some questions for Solomon in the book of Ecclesiastes. And he and I both have some questions for Paul from the book of Romans. And I've got some questions for John from the book of Revelation. But, oh, can you imagine getting to sit at the feet of Jesus and hear Him teach and preach? We're going to be doing a lot of things in heaven. Whew. Heaven's occupation. You ain't going to be bored in heaven. You're not going to be sitting here, I wish this service had to go ahead and get over with. And then heaven's captivation. Whew, I like this. Revelation 7 and verse 16 says, they shall neither hunger anymore, nor thirst anymore. The sun shall not strike them, nor any heat. For the Lamb, who is in the midst of the throne, will shepherd them and lead them to living fountains of waters. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. You want to know what makes heaven heaven? Jesus. He will captivate us. We will be astounded. We'll just be, whew. Jesus is what makes heaven heaven. He is our captivating Savior and Lord. I think I told this story to back many moons ago when I was preaching out of the book of Revelation to our Sunday night saints. It was mainly the older saints. And I think I used this illustration, and if I did, I apologize. But it gets better the second time if you've heard it before. Back when I was in the hotel business, there was, out at exit 4, believe it or not, there was no mall. Say, oh me. All it was the Best Western and right up on the interstate, the Exchange was the Holiday Inn. No Cracker Barrel, no restaurants, just us. And I was working there at the Best Western. And my boss at the time, Harry Covington, showed me the hotel business, raised me in it, taught me how to do everything. And then he sold out to a company out of Boston. And so they came down to visit, you know, and I'm wondering, do I need to go be looking for another job? Well, they asked me to be their general manager. And so I was blessed enough to do that for several years. But my boss in Boston owned a box at Fenway Park, Mike Rainey. But even better than that, he owned a box in the Boston Garden where Larry Bird played. And I remember my first trip to the Boston Garden. The boss man paid for my ticket and put me up in the Four Seasons Hotel in Boston. And so we were going, he took us out to dinner somewhere. Y'all ever had Boston seafood? Oh my goodness. Lobster? Come on. Anyways, and after he fed me and several other of his hotel managers, he took us to the Boston Garden, and we pulled up in the bottom of the building, in this garage. And he said, we're going to walk down the hallway and go up the elevator to the third floor to where my box is. I said, great. And so we're walking through this basement of this old, old Boston garden. And all of a sudden on my right was a huge, big metal door. And it was open. And so I kind of leaned in and looked as we were going by. And you know who's in there? Larry Bird. Kevin McHale. Cornbread Maxwell. The Chief. Robert Parrish. All of my... I've been following the Celtics since Bill Russell days. Okay? And these guys were, man, I thought I had died and gone to heaven. You know? And then we got down to the end of the corridor, and my knees are weak. You know, I'm just, oh. And we get down to the elevator, and my boss takes us up to his suite. Oh, my. We walked into the suite, and I'd eaten enough food at the restaurant, but they had hors d'oeuvres, lobster hors d'oeuvres, and shrimp, and all kinds of stuff. And we're sitting up there in this suite, and then all of a sudden, here come the Celtics out the door on the other side of the court. And they were that night they were playing their rivals, the Detroit Pistons, Isaiah Thomas and the Bad Boys. And you talking about, and it was a whale of a game, and the Celtics won. That was in 1987. And I thought I had a, man, I thought life doesn't get any better than this. But can I tell you, as R.G. Lee once said, all the stuff and the noise and everything and the music down here will be like a bumblebee in a bottle compared to what we're going to hear and experience up in heaven. All of that will pale in comparison to being in heaven. The life and joy of heaven is the presence of Jesus. The work and the witness of heaven is the person of Jesus. And the worship of heaven is the purpose of Jesus. Oh, listen, friend, what makes heaven heaven is Jesus. We'll be captivated by His presence and His power. And I've said all of that to say this. I know the person who can get you to heaven. And His name is Jesus. If you want to go to heaven, you've got to come by Him. Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father except by me. And if you're here today and you want to go to heaven, you've got to get on the Jesus train. And here's how you do that. You repent. You turn from your sin. You have a change of the mind, a change of the will about your personal sin. And you get so convicted about it and so sorry for it that you trust Christ and His finished work on the cross. And you ask Him, Lord, forgive me. I surrender to You. That's what it means for Him to be the Lord of your life. He's number one. He's top shelf. He's top priority. The Bible says if you'll confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus. Doesn't say anything about Savior. He's already Savior. The question is, have you surrendered to His Lordship? By calling on His name. And if you'll do that right here today, you can start getting ready right now for heaven. And heaven's just getting real close. I would think real, real soon. I think heaven's closer than what we realize. Next Sunday's homecoming. And I'm probably going to be preaching on rapture, resurrection, reunion, return, and all that stuff. Do you know what I want? I've come here today to tell you, Gabriel's licking his lips. And when he toots, we're going to scoot. And you had better be ready. Are you ready? Are you ready? Pray with me. Oh God, I don't know if we're ready for heaven or not. We say we are. Father, I would pray for everyone in here this morning. I don't want anybody's blood to be on my hands. And so, Lord, we have presented the gospel this morning. And I'm sure there's someone here that needs to make their reservation, needs to be saved, needs to be born again, needs to become a follower of Christ Jesus. Oh, God, help us to bow the knee, to humble ourselves before you in this time. And there's so many more, Father, so many more outside of this building that if you were to come today, we would face the peril and the dangers and the horrible days of tribulation in the Antichrist. Oh God, get us ready. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Andrew's going to lead us in a hymn of response. If you prayed to receive Christ today, I want to give you some things. I want to get some stuff in your hands. You've made the greatest decision of your life, and we want to celebrate with you, but you got to come. You can fill out one of these cards and let us know if you want to do it that way, and I'll get with you. But oh, let me ask you, do you love Jesus? Do you know that He loves you? And if you called on Him, He saved you today, and you've got a different life now. Brand new life. And you need to come and take your stand for God today, right now. Or maybe there's someone in your family that's getting close to heaven and they need for those angels to come. Maybe there's somebody you need to pray for. We're always open here for prayer. Let's all stand and sing. Blessed assurance. Jesus is mine.
Let's sing together.
This is Pastor Cal again. I hope you enjoyed the message. If you'd like to talk to me or another pastor about some issue that you may have, a question you might have, you're free to call 931-332-6288.